Hello, I'm Sophie, Supporter Engagement Manager at Beacon. This week's edition of Black Country Talking News is for Wednesday, the 23rd of September, 2020.
Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sightless Charity, Beacon Centre. I'm Simon. We are pleased to inform you that our Talking News service is now once again available in CD format. And to those who have received their CD in the post, you'll notice they're in paper envelopes, not the usual plastic wallets, so there's no need to send anything back. Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Online by visiting Beacon's website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, www.blackcountryradio.co.uk/on-air/podcasts. On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, simply search Beacon Black Country Talking News and hit the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition. Reading this week, we have Christine, Ian, Mina, Talking Book Steve, Helen, Flashback Roger, Angela, Pete, and of course me, Simon. Included this week is a roundup of local news, our weekly quiz. We look at this week in history in our flashback section, sight loss news from Queen's Cross Network in Dudley, a Talking Book review, news from the Wolves and West Bromwich Albion, the weather for the weekend and next week, an update from Beacon, plus a music quiz at the end. Now, last week's music quiz. It's over to you, Pete.
So, let's run through the answers. We asked you to complete the title of these hits. So there was a missing word, and what was the missing word? So the first one was from 1955, and it was Eartha Kitt singing Under the Bridges of... The missing word was Paris, Under the Bridges of Paris. From 1956, Johnny Ray and Just Walking in the Rain. You knew that, didn't you? And from 1957, it was David Whitfield and the Adoration Waltz. So David Whitfield and the Adoration Waltz. That was the missing word. As always, thank you to Andy Colston for sending them in.
Thank you, Andy. And there's another music quiz coming up at the end of this week's edition. Let's start off with some local news now with Ian and Angela. But first up, it's Christine.
To start this week's local news, we would like to read a letter from Councillor Ian Brookfield, leader of City of Wolverhampton Council, about new government restrictions on city households mixing. You may be aware that last week I urged local people to voluntarily avoid mixing with other households so that we could reduce the rising tide of COVID-19 cases in our city. This has now been backed up by a government announcement which places legal restrictions on city households mixing. The new rules came into effect from Tuesday, the 22nd of September. The move supports and enhances our city plan to beat the virus. It's proportionate to the risk and based on latest public health evidence. It also brings us into line with our city neighbours at a time when our rate is comparable to Sandwell's, which is already subject to these measures. To summarise the position, infections in our city have risen fivefold in a fortnight to around 60 cases per 100,000 residents in the 7 days to the 12th of September. 90% of cases involve household-to-household transmission. Restricting house-to-house contact will help stop the spread. If we do this, we'll keep loved ones safe and protect jobs and our economy. The new rules include the following. You must not allow people you don't live with or who are not part of your bubble into your home or garden. You must not visit people you do not live with or who are not part of your bubble in Wolverhampton or elsewhere. Only essential visits inside the home, such as by carers or for urgent repairs, will be allowed. It's important to remember that the new restrictions are law and people could be fined for breaking them. We are working with our local policing team on their enforcement plan. The measures will not affect schools, public transport or workplaces, though people should still practice social distancing and wear a face covering where required. For more details of the new measures, please visit wolverhampton.gov.uk/restrictions. If we can work together as a city and use these temporary restrictions to stop the virus spreading, we will keep people safe and avoid a more damaging local lockdown. Please do all that you can to help. Councillor Ian Brookfield, Leader of the Council.
About 200 jobs have been secured after a new operator was found for Maryhill Shopping Centre. Elandi, a privately owned operator of shopping centres, has been appointed as the new asset manager for Into Maryhill in Briley Hill, one of the biggest shopping destinations in the West Midlands. The company takes over from Into Properties PLC, which went into administration in June, and will oversee the operation and development of Into Maryhill on behalf of the consortium of banks that own the centre. Elandi, which operates over 30 shopping centres across the UK, has confirmed that Into Maryhill will continue to receive investment and development. This investment includes the current remodelling of the exterior of the centre, which is due to be completed by spring 2021. A refurbishment of the washroom facilities has just been completed, and other developments will follow over the coming months. Elandi has appointed Savills as managing agent with responsibility for the day-to-day running of the centre. The centre will continue to be known as Into Maryhill for an interim period. It will be rebranded in 2021.
A new coronavirus testing centre is due to open in Wolverhampton. The walk-in site at Blakenhall Community Resource Centre will be the fifth in the city and is opening in the coming days, in a bid to deal with the rising demand for tests. It came as increasing numbers of people in the city reported difficulties in getting tested. With spaces at a premium due to a lack of laboratory capacity nationally to process the tests, existing testing sites in the city are at Showell Road, Whitmoreen's Health Centre car park and Mountford Road car park in Bilston. There is a drive-through site at Aldersley Leisure Village. In the recent days, some people turning up for the test centre at Showell Road and Whitmoreen's sites have been turned away and told to book online.
Unemployment in Wolverhampton has shot up by 6% during the COVID crisis, council finance chiefs have revealed. At a full council meeting on Wednesday, Wolverhampton council bosses said the estimated cost of dealing with the pandemic in the coming year will be £15 million. Members from both the ruling Labour group and Conservative opposition backed a motion praising the efforts of the city in dealing with coronavirus. But Deputy Leader Louise Miles, who is also Cabinet Member for Resources, said it was important the government honoured its pledge to replenish funds splashed out by the authority to tackle it. She said, so far the estimated immediate cost to the council of the COVID-19 pandemic has been £22.4 million. We've received from the government, and we do welcome and acknowledge this funding, £19.4 million. However, that still leaves us with an immediate cost pressure of around £3 million, and also that doesn't take into account the more indirect and future costs to the city caused by the pandemic. We continue to manage our finances in a measured and careful way. We have increased our general reserves by £3 million, and we have also created a special recovery reserve of another £3 million. Some of the challenges faced by the city are the impact on the ability of people to pay council tax, the ability of businesses to pay business rates, costs to revenue by the falling car parking and people attending leisure facilities. As a council, we have already made a pledge that we will support our residents during these difficult times, particularly through council tax support and other measures we can take. At present, we estimate in the financial year the cost to the council of the pandemic and related issues will be in excess of £15 million. We do call upon the government to make good their pledge to continue to fund the costs of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we would also ask that they allow us to use our specific reserves for which they intended, which include our very important regeneration projects, which will also bring jobs to the city. The most recent figures to August show there has been an increase in unemployment in the city from 4.7% to 10.6%.
Waitrose in Wolverhampton is set to be sold to Tesco, with the store closing down for good under its current name on December the 31st. Waitrose announced plans to close four of its shops, the Superstore in Wolverhampton and three smaller branches in Shrewsbury, Caldecott and Ipswich Corn Exchange. All 124 staff, or partners as they're known across the company, at the smaller three shops are at risk of redundancy, while the 140 staff members at Wolverhampton Waitrose, based off Penn Road, will transfer to Tesco. Bosses have said these particular shops are closing as trading has been challenging. All affected staff will now enter a period of consultation. The Wolverhampton staff members have also been told they can explore opportunities to continue working for Waitrose, either at other shops or online, rather than transfer to Tesco. Wolverhampton store will close on December the 31st, while Shrewsbury and the other shops will close on December the 6th. A spokesman for Waitrose also added that support would be given to workers at risk of redundancy, including a contribution of up to £3,000 towards a qualification or course. They will also be given access to a three-month support programme with an outplacement specialist to help with CV writing and interview skills. As well as statutory redundancy payments, staff who have worked with the business for more than a year will be entitled to partnership redundancy pay, which equates to 2 weeks' pay for each year of service, regardless of age. Those with less than 1 year's service who leave on grounds of redundancy will receive an ex gratia tax-free payment equivalent to 1 week's contractual pay.
There's more local news coming up shortly, but now let's find out what's happening over at Beacon.
Hi everyone, it's Helen, and I'm back with the latest news and updates about what's been going on at Beacon. We want to start this week with a very special thank you to the amazing team behind the JW Hunt Cup. The Cup is a charity football competition created in 1926 to help raise funds solely for Beacon, and it's raised an awe-inspiring £320,000 since it first began. Sadly, this year, for the first time ever, coronavirus meant the competition couldn't take place. Despite that, these incredible fundraisers still pledged to raise funds in any way they could, and they've just made an amazing £9,000 donation to Beacon. The fact that they were able to raise these funds despite the huge challenges everyone's faced in the past 6 months is remarkable, and it's so appreciated as their support has never been more needed. We'd like to say thank you to everyone involved in the JW Hunt Cup and all those who donated. You've helped us help people with sight loss when they needed us the most. We hope the teams will be able to get back out on the pitch this season, but we will never forget their incredible support during 2020. Now, did you know that September the 21st to the 27th is National Eye Health Week? We've been working with local councils and companies to help get the message out about the importance of good eye health, but we thought we'd also share some of our top tips with you. Number one, take breaks from the screen. Whether it's a laptop, TV or our mobile phones, we've all probably had a bit more screen time than we realised these past few months. But making a conscious effort to cut back really can make a difference. Two, 2020. You probably never want to hear 2020 again, right? But this one's important. If you're looking at a computer for any length of time, every 20 minutes, look 20 feet away for 20 seconds. It will give your eye muscles a much needed break. Three, check your lighting. Wherever you're working, make sure you don't have any lighting directly behind your screen, as it will make it harder to read. If you get the lighting right, you'll really notice a difference. Four, positioning. Make sure your screen's in the right position. It should be 18 to 24 inches away from you and just below your eye level, so you're not looking up at your screen. Five, text size. Many of our listeners will know this already, but it's all about being big and bold when it comes to your text. You can also have a play with a contrast on your computer to change your background and text colours to find the contrast that works best for you. Now, hands up who's been catching up on box sets these last few months. If you're looking for something new to binge on, then why not pop into Beacon's Wolverhampton Clearing Centre, where you can pick up some DVDs for a bargain price. You'll be helping us support people with sight loss, and we've got a range of measures in place to ensure that you can shop safely during the COVID-19 pandemic. You can find the store on Lower Walsall Street in Wolverhampton. It's open Wednesdays to Sundays. And don't forget, we've had to make a few changes to the ways you can donate to our shops due to COVID-19. Your generosity over the past few months has been amazing. But due to the current coronavirus restrictions, we're having to quarantine items before putting them out for sale, and we can really struggle for storage space as a result. We're currently asking that if you've got any donations for any of our shops, please can you call ahead to double check that we're able to accept the items you're bringing in. The number to call is 01902 880 111 and option 2. Thanks for your support. That's it for this week. As ever, if you've got anything you want to talk to us about or even a fundraising idea, then get in touch. The number again is 01902 880 111. Bye!
Now don't forget that all of Beacon's contact details will be coming up at the end of this week's edition, so don't forget to listen out for that. And more local news now, here's Angela.
The West Midlands Mayor has urged people to keep doing their bit to fight coronavirus as the region enters a critical period. Angie Street welcomed the ban on mixing households enforced in Sandwell, Solihull, Birmingham and Wolverhampton, but he stressed everyone in the Black Country should play their part in tackling the pandemic amid a surge of cases in the area. Mr Street said this demonstrates very clearly why every citizen across the region must keep doing their bit to keep up the fight against the virus. That's the only way we can beat it, and the only way we can ensure that our children can keep going to school and people across the region can keep returning to work. We are in a crucial period, so let's keep thinking about the education of our region's children. Let's keep thinking about the people whose livelihoods are under threat. Let's keep thinking about the safety of our loved ones, and let's keep doing the right thing.
The leader of Dudley Council says plans for a new university must continue at pace as council bosses look set to consider details in a report next week. The proposals for the higher education campus at Castle Hill Dudley are part of a £1 billion regeneration master plan. It also includes driverless vehicles technology, very light rail innovation and the metro extension through Dudley Town. Councillor Patrick Harley, leader of the council, said everyone involved must continue with the positive momentum on the project. The report will highlight progress on the plans to date, funding opportunities and plans to demolish the former Hippodrome and Bingo Hall to make way for millions of pounds worth of investment. Dudley Town's Fund Board is seeking funding from Central Government's Towns Fund to develop a new university-style centre to meet the growing demand for higher skills in the region. The Towns Fund Board is seeking £25 million investment to create a learning centre offering courses in health and life sciences. Technical programmes will be delivered at Level 4 and 5, along with degree and postgraduate qualifications. A process is currently underway to attract a university partner who will be responsible for the curriculum delivered from the site when the building is complete from the start of the 2023/24 academic year. This new facility will be sited alongside the Black Country and Marches Institute of Technology, which will open in autumn 2021, offering higher level qualifications in advanced manufacturing, modern construction methodologies and medical engineering. Together, these two buildings will create a university park in the town, nearby to existing sites belonging to Dudley College of Technology, thereby expanding Dudley's learning quarter. The university park developments will be on the site of the former Hippodrome building. Council bosses met with campaigners working to save the dilapidated former bingo hall recently to outline the proposals which will see it demolished, having not had theatre shows since the 1960s and repeated failed attempts to raise money to save it. But during that meeting, strong assurances came from the leader of the council to work with the group to boost the nighttime economy in the town as part of the ongoing regeneration work. Cabinet members will consider the report on September the 23rd and make any recommendations.
Men who have had coronavirus symptoms are being urged to donate plasma due to a shortage of male donors in Wolverhampton and Birmingham. NHS Blood and Transplant urgently needs men in the two cities who have had coronavirus or the symptoms to volunteer to donate blood plasma. In the West Midlands County, more than 7,863 people have volunteered to donate blood plasma after recovering from COVID-19. However, only 36% of the volunteers are male, despite men being more valuable donors. Men are far more likely to go on to donate a unit of plasma with a high level of antibodies. A man booked in to donate for the first time is three times more likely to give a high antibody unit of plasma than a woman booked in to donate for the first time. Plasma from people who have recovered can be transfused into people who are still unwell and struggling to develop their own immune response. The plasma contains neutralizing antibodies which could stop the virus spreading and save lives. Professor Dave Roberts, Associate Director for Blood Donation at NHS Blood and Transplant, said, "We are not sure why fewer men than women are offering to donate in Birmingham and Wolverhampton, but we need men who have had coronavirus symptoms to come forward and offer to donate. You don't need to have had a positive test. If you had the symptoms, we want to hear from you, as all donations are tested. Please help the NHS fight COVID-19 by donating. It is safe and easy, and you could save lives. For more information, visit www.nhsbt.nhs.uk.
Staff at the 111 NHS call centre in Briley Hill have tested positive for coronavirus. Bosses at West Midlands Ambulance Service have said the cases do not impact any services and the centre is still running safely. Those who have been tested positive for COVID-19 have been instructed to self-isolate for 2 weeks as per government guidelines. A spokesman for West Midlands Ambulance Service confirmed a small number of staff at the 111 call centre in Briley Hill have tested positive for COVID-19. This is contained and does not impact on our services and the centre continues to operate safely. The WMAS 111 call centre, which takes non-emergency healthcare calls from members of the public, is based at the waterfront in Briley Hill, Dudley.
Food bank demand soared by more than 50% during the coronavirus pandemic and staff are braced for another rise this winter. The biggest spike was in April during the height of the pandemic when Black Country Food Bank, which serves 23 centres in Dudley, Sandwell and Walsall, saw a 58% increase in usage from 2019. Between January and July, the Briley Hill-based organisation served around 2,000 more people than they did during the same period last year, dishing out 169,580 meals. In April, an extra 699 adults and 346 children sought food parcels on the same month last year. New figures reveal a similar rise in demand was experienced at Cannock and District Food Bank, as well as the Good Shepherd Ministry in Wolverhampton. With local lockdowns now in place across much of the West Midlands and furlough ending, food bank volunteers say they are expecting demand to rise significantly again. And they say demand will come from families who have never had to seek help before, but who find themselves suddenly short of money because of redundancy. It has led centres like Black Country Food Bank, Cannocken District Food Bank, Good Shepherd Ministry and Friends of Dyer's Kitchen to appeal for more donations and volunteers to cope with an ever-increasing demand.
There's two more local news roundups coming up shortly, but now it's come round again. It's that time. It's time for your weekly quiz. Are you ready, Mina?
I am, and I have the questions lined up. All our questions are on events that happened on this week in history, and we will bring the answers in our flashback section coming up later. So, are you ready? Question 1. Where was the ship QE2 christened? Question 2. In what year was the infamous mutiny on the Bounty? Question 3. What was the name of the man who called Abraham Lincoln to duel in 1842? Question 4. What was the title of the futuristic TV cartoon series first broadcast in 1962? Question 5. Where was the first Kentucky Fried Chicken shop? And finally, question 6. What metal innovation makes Levi jeans so hard wearing? Roger will have the answers a little later for you. So, good luck!
Yes, indeed. Flashback Roger will have all the answers a bit later on. But let's turn back to the local news now with Ian.
Business leaders have urged people not to desert local traders when new lockdown measures come into force. Wolverhampton is being placed into local lockdown in a bid to reduce the spiralling numbers of cases in the city, meaning people are barred from meeting others who are not part of their household or support bubble in homes or gardens. Some businesses have welcomed the measures, while others have raised concerns that footfall will plummet if the lockdown drags on. Sham Sharma, chairman of Wolverhampton Business Forum, said that the restrictions were likely to adversely affect businesses that were already struggling due to the pandemic. Footfall has nosedived already in Wolverhampton, said Mr. Sharma, who also sits on the city's intervention committee. The new measures will not do any favours for already struggling businesses in Wolverhampton. We want to get out the message that businesses are open and we want people to come in sensible numbers. He said the forum was asking the City Council to look at issuing COVID compliance certificates. The idea is that businesses can display them to give the public confidence that they can go into a shop or restaurant, he added. Sean Keezy, chairman of the city's Pub Watch, praised the council for taking preemptive action against the rise in cases. He said he hopes the measures will prevent the need for tighter restrictions, such as those implemented in the North East, where pubs and restaurants have seen their opening hours cut back. Mr. Keezy said, "As far as I have seen, venues in the city centre have implemented strict social distancing measures and created a COVID-safe environment. In Wolverhampton, the majority of cases appear to have come from household gatherings. If you want a safe social drink in Wolverhampton, then the pub is actually the safest place to go."
A street in Dudley Town Centre has been closed for 4 weeks due to the Midland Metro works. Flood Street has been closed while construction continues on the Winsbury to Woodbury Hill tram extension. Two-way traffic lights have also been installed on King Street as part of the works. The project is seeing the tram line extended from Winsbury up to Briley Hill, bringing light rail to Dudley. The existing route goes between Wolverhampton and Birmingham. Midland Metro Alliance tweeted, "Flood Street, Dudley is closed for up to 4 weeks, and there will be a two-way traffic sign on King Street to allow for ongoing construction of the Wensbury to Briley Hill Metro extension. It comes as there are calls to extend the tram network into Great Barr."
The leader of Wolverhampton Council has said the city will be relit again after coronavirus. Councillor Ian Brookfield, speaking during the first full council meeting since March, committed to the city's recovery plan after the COVID-19 crisis. The plan outlined Wolverhampton Council's commitment to continue to work with partners to support the city to live with and recover from COVID-19. It identifies the key priority areas of supporting people who need us most, creating more opportunities for young people, supporting vital local businesses, generating more jobs and learning opportunities, and stimulating vibrant high streets and communities. Documents to the council stated, "The impact of the COVID-19 pandemic has required a response at a global, national and local level. in Wolverhampton, as elsewhere across the country, it continues to affect the lives of every resident in the city. Alongside managing the emergency response to the pandemic, the council has also undertaken extensive planning for recovery. Over the past 3 months, we have engaged with around 2,500 people, including residents, young people, the voluntary and community sectors, and other partners, employees, councillors, and businesses across the city. This engagement has shaped the council's 5-point recovery plan, Relighting Our City. There is still much uncertainty about the pandemic and the long-term impact on our communities and the economy. Therefore, this recovery framework is intended to be a live document which will continue to evolve to meet the new challenges and opportunities which we develop in the coming months. The activity and actions set out in the plan are not exhaustive, and working closely with city partners and residents, the council will continue to build on this framework to develop its approach to recovery. Speaking at Wednesday's meeting, Councillor Brookfield said, "Everyone knows the city, the region, country and the world has gone through a really traumatic time with COVID and the crisis. We are happy to take our opportunity and help get our city on its feet back where it was 6 months ago. We spoke to more than 1,000 residents, businesses, colleagues. This is their thoughts, their wishes to relight our city. Safeguarding jobs and the economy are also key for our city. We know people have been hit really hard during this pandemic. We have seen some of the most vulnerable people in our city hit the hardest. As a city, we came together during the pandemic. We helped to look after our own, and I'm proud of that. We are not out of the woods yet, as we have seen this week, but we will defeat this virus. We will relight the city." The report was approved after a vote from councillors. Residents can still share their views until mid-December by visiting wolverhamptonrecovery.commonplace.is.
Full demolition of Wolverhampton's old railway station building has been completed in just over a month. Groundworks are now being carried out to pave the way for piling to start this month for the foundations for phase two construction of the new station building. It is another major step forward in the development, which is part of the city's £150 million interchange scheme, delivering improvements to bus, tram and train connectivity. Once the railway station is completed in early 2021, final works will begin to connect the station to a new metro extension, creating a fully integrated transport hub with the neighbouring bus station.
Dudley has seen a 15% increase in recycling since lockdown began, new figures show. Dudley Council say all recycling in the borough has risen by 15% since the start of March, with glass recycling up 30%. Since January, residents have recycled more than 4,000 tonnes of paper and card, which has saved 70,000 trees. The data was revealed as part of the National Recycle Week, which runs from September the 21st to the 27th. Recycle Now, which runs the campaign, said more people have become more environmentally friendly since the lockdown. Its statistics show 73% of British people are prepared to change their lifestyle, up from 68% in 2019.
Our final news roundup on the way, plus news from our local football clubs too. Silas News Now, and something for our listeners in Dudley.
Hello everyone, my name is Paul Astley and I work at Queen's Cross Network. Queen's Cross is a vibrant and busy community-based hub in Wellington Road, Dudley. The hub provides support to people who have a physical and sensory disability and who live in the Dudley Borough. This covers the areas of Central Dudley, Sedgley, Coesley, Briley Hill, Kings Winford, Wordsley, Stourbridge and Hales Owen. At the current time, the hub at Queen's Cross is closed to attendees and visitors owing to the COVID-19 lockdown situation. However, we are offering a service called the Pleased to Meet You helpline. This is a friendly support helpline aimed at helping people who live in the borough and who may need some support with shopping, medication, access to some other support services such as fault prevention and telecare, or if people are just feeling lonely and isolated and need someone to talk to. They can talk to us, of course. To give you an example of some of the other things we can help with, We have helped people to contact someone who could repair household appliances like washing machines if they break down, or maybe even help to contact a dog walker for pet care. Whatever the request, if we can reasonably help, we will try our very best to do so. If you feel our team of adult social care staff could help you in any way, then you can call the Police to Meet You helpline on 01384 812761. That's 01384 812761. Or you can email us at communitysupportserve@dudley.gov.uk. That's communitysupportserve@dudley.gov.uk. There is no E at the end of the word serve. communitysupportserve@dudley.gov.uk. The Pleased to Meet You helpline is open Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. We would like to hear from you. In fact, you could say we'd be pleased to meet you. If you'd like to know more about services that we offer at Queen's Cross Network, please visit www.dudley.gov.uk and search for Queen's Cross Network. Or you can Google Queen's Cross Network Dudley. Alternatively, if you use Twitter, you can search hashtag Queen's Cross Network, all one word, and learn about the exciting things we offer to people who have a physical and sensory disability at our fantastic centre. You can contact Queen's Cross Network through the Please to Meet You helpline or by calling 01384 813460. That's 01384 813460. Thank you for listening. My name's Paul Astley, and from everyone at Queen's Cross Network, I wish you all well and hope that you will stay safe.
Thank you, Paul. Time for our final news roundup now with Christine.
Two areas of the Black Country will each be receiving almost £2 million in funding to help their local high streets recover from the effects of COVID-19. Wensbury and Briley Hill will each receive £1.8 million as part of the High Street Heritage Action Zone, a project by Historic England. The majority of the fund will be spent on essential repairs to historic buildings, developing educational projects to turn the sites into community hubs, and helping increase skills shortages. A total of 12 historic high streets across the Midlands have been offered government funding to give them a new lease of life and help them recover from declining footfall and the blow dealt by the COVID-19 pandemic. The High Streets Heritage Action Zone initiative in England is funded with £40 million from the Department for Digital, Culture, Media and Sports Heritage High Street Fund and £52 million from the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government's Future High Street Fund. £3 million will be provided by the lottery. Louise Brennan, Historic England Regional Director for the Midlands, said, "Whether it's a medieval market town or a post-industrial centre, every high street in England has a distinctive history that can be harnessed to help it achieve a prosperous future. Investing in heritage delivers good results for people. It means looking after and celebrating the places at the heart of our communities and the buildings and public spaces which define their character. This investment for our historic High Streets Action Zone scheme will unlock the potential of these precious high streets and help them thrive again."
A Marvel Fantastic Four comic has sold for a fantastic £1,450 at an online auction. Fielding's Auctioneers in Mill Race Lane, Stourbridge, started the Back to the Future auctions in 2019. They are run by auctioneers Kaylee Davis and Rachel Holland, who between them have more than 30 years experience in the business. They say the concept behind the auction is anything dating from the 1950s to present day that is cool and collectible and we feel buyers would want to own. The latest auction, which took place online due to coronavirus restrictions, included the Fantastic Four comic, which sold for nearly £1,500, a Star Wars poster which sold for £400, and a Thunderbirds Lady Penelope Dinky toy car which sold for £190.
Sedgley's annual Christmas light switch-on event, which is attended by hundreds of people each year, has been cancelled due to the coronavirus pandemic. Organisers of the popular event, which takes place in and around Boring in the run-up to Christmas, are looking holding something online instead. Each year, people are treated to live entertainment and stalls, which provide a festive atmosphere. It is hoped the switch-on event will return next year in a bigger and better capacity, said Sedgley Ward Councillor Sean Keezy. He says people's health has to come first. We haven't, by the looks of it, got the virus under control, so events like this can't go ahead, as much as it's sad.
Radio legend Dickie Dodd was back on the Wolverhampton airwaves last week after his grand departure from Signal 107. The radio presenter volunteered to cover the breakfast show on Wolverhampton Community Radio, WCR, and joked it was nice to have a purpose again. Dickie, aged 46, hosted his final breakfast show for Signal 107 at the end of August, after 20 years of being a familiar voice in thousands of Black Country households. During lockdown, it was announced he had been made redundant from his role as Signal had moved to integrate with the Hits Radio brand network. Hundreds signed a petition begging bosses to keep him on, but Dickie said he was looking forward to starting a new chapter of his career. He had planned to take the whole of September as holiday, but quickly found himself pulled back into the radio world. Dickie added, "It's extra special being able to broadcast in your own city." The reaction from the listeners has been immense. The amount of messages I've received and text has been phenomenal. People have followed me to WCR. That's really special. It's a great station for Wolverhampton. There's a need for local radio for our city. I hope it continues.
At 100 years old, George Baker has done much in his life, but launching a new look opticians was a first. The loyal customer was chosen to perform the socially distant honours at Scriven's Opticians and Hearing Care in Dudley Street, Wolverhampton, and received a gift voucher and flowers as a thank you. Mr. Baker, who gets to branch appointments by himself, said, "I was a bit startled and wondered why they would choose me. They've got to know me over the years. I have dealt with Scriven's since I moved to the Midlands. They have all been first-rate and always very polite and very efficient." London-born Mr. Baker moved to the Midlands in 1983 and lives in Wolverhampton. He worked all his life in the gas industry, aside from 6 years wartime army service. He started as an apprentice and retired as a technical officer in charge of apprentices training. Branch manager James Hartree said, "We wanted to mark the opening in style, and George was the obvious choice."
Sports news to follow, but now with the quiz answers as we look at this week in history, it's over to Flashback Roger.
Hello, this is Roger again, and this is our flashback section where we look back at some events from the week of the 20th to the 26th of September from years gone by, and where, of course, you'll find the answers from the quiz questions that we asked earlier. On September the 20th, 1967, the ocean liner, the QE2, was christened at Clydebank in Scotland by Queen Elizabeth II. The QE2 was retired from service in 2008 and was converted to a floating hotel in 2018. The QE2 was a ship of 75,000 tons and had berths for 2,270 passengers. The ship was 963 feet long and had a top speed of 34 knots, which in English is 63 miles an hour. Again on September the 20th, but in 1764, Fletcher Christian, the man who led the mutiny on the Bounty, was born. He led the mutiny against Captain Bligh aboard HMS Bounty in 1789 on their voyage to Tahiti. He placed Bligh and some of his crew adrift in an open boat. Bligh survived the 47-day, 3,600-mile journey to safety. Christian and the mutineers landed on Pitcairn Island, where they lived out the rest of their lives. Abraham Lincoln was challenged to a duel on September the 22nd, 1842. He had written a letter to a local paper insulting James Shields. Lincoln wrote the first letter under the pseudonym of a farmer named Rebecca. Later, when Lincoln took responsibility for the letters, Shields challenged him to a duel. As the one who was challenged, Lincoln had the choice of weapons. And since Shields was an excellent marksman, Lincoln chose a cavalry broadsword, which, due to Lincoln's height and long arms, gave him the advantage. Lincoln swung his sword, cutting a tree branch above Shields, who then saw he was at a fatal advantage. The two men then called a truce, later becoming good friends. On September the 23rd, 1962, the space age cartoon The Jetsons debuts on ABC in the States. George, Jane, Judy, Elroy, Astro live in the year 2062 with flying cars, robots, holograms, and numerous labour-saving devices. In the stories, George worked 1 hour a day, 2 days a week. Roll on 2062, I say. Don Messick, who voiced Astro, also did the voice for Scooby-Doo in Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? It was ABC's first colour telecast, although only a few ABC stations were capable of broadcasting it at the time. On September the 24th, 1952, the first Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise opened in Salt Lake City, Utah. It featured secret recipes created by Colonel Harlan Saunders. And by 1963, there were 600 KFC restaurants, making it the largest fast food chain in the US. Today, there are over 18,000 outlets worldwide. Levi Strauss, the maker of the famous blue jeans, was born on September the 26th, 1829. He was a Bavarian-born American businessman. Jacob Davis, one of Strauss's customers, was one of the inventors of the riveted denim garments. He and Levi went into business together in 1873 to produce blue jeans. His product gained rapid fame amongst workers in the United States, in particular amongst farmers where the garments, reinforced by the copper rivets, were able to withstand the rigours of their workload. Well, that's the quiz for this week, folks. One or two interesting points there, I thought. Anyway, I hope you do well in the quiz, but this is Rog saying bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Bye-bye.
We'll run through the quiz answers at the end of this week's edition, so listen out for that. Now, the weather. What's it looking like, Mina?
As we move into October, it's starting to feel more like autumn, with a dry weekend but rain forecast for next week. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:02 a.m. is sunrise, and the sunset will be at 18:56 this week. Friday 25th of September, we start with sunny intervals and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees and low UV levels. Saturday 26th of September, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees and medium UV levels. Sunday 27th of September, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 15 degrees, low UV levels. Moving on to Monday 28th of September, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 16 degrees with low UV levels. Now, Tuesday 29th of September, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 15 degrees with low UV levels. Wednesday 30th of September, we have a little rain and moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 15 degrees with low UV levels. Moving into October, Thursday 1st of October, we have light rain and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 14 degrees with low UV levels. Enjoy the weather!
I will, Mina, but it's getting cooler. News from our local football clubs now, and here's Ian.
Fosun chairman Guo Guangchang claims Wolves' finances remain strong despite the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Matches being played behind closed doors and rebates to broadcasters means every Premier League club has seen revenues fall in recent months. Wolves have unveiled a new Portugal-inspired third kit for the 2020-21 season. The strip features a red shirt with green trim, red shorts and green socks, just like the Portugal national team. The red third kit joins the gold home shirt with black sleeves and the controversial blue and white away strip to complete the club's set for the campaign. Wolves fell at the first hurdle in the Carabao Cup as Jacob Brown's late strike saw Stoke grab a surprising second round win at Molineux. A disappointing night for Wolves, with Nuno keen to work on things ahead of hosting Manchester City back in the Premier League. Wolves then travel to the London Stadium to play West Ham on Sunday the 27th of September with a 7 p.m. kick-off. In transfer news, Diogo Jota has left Wolves for Premier League champions Liverpool in a deal that could rise to £45 million. The 23-year-old attacker has gone to Anfield on a 5-year contract for an initial £41 million, with it potentially going up to £45 million in add-ons. Wolves have completed the signing of young Liverpool defender Kiana Hoofer in a deal worth up to £13.5 million. The 18-year-old Dutchman, who has played as both a centre-back and a right-back for the Reds, arrives at Molineux on a 5-year contract. Wolves are also closing in on the £29 million signing of Nelson Samido from Spanish giants Barcelona. The 26-year-old Portuguese international is set to come in on a long-term deal, with the deal potentially involving add-ons as Nuno Espirito Santo's first-choice right wing-back. Samido has played 124 times for Barca, who are having to sell players to fund new signings, and he's also gained 13 Portugal caps. West Bromwich Albion have signed Conor Gallagher on loan from Chelsea. The 20-year-old is a player who has been on Albion's radar for a number of years, following his impressive performances for Chelsea's youth sides. Albion have held talks with French side Rennes about potentially signing striker Mbaye Niang on loan. The powerful forward is well known to Baggies technical director Luke Dowling, with the pair having previously worked together at Watford. Slaven Bilic says he will be extremely disappointed if Filip Krovinovic doesn't rejoin Albion. Krovinovic impressed for the Baggies on loan from Benfica last season and has once again been made available for transfer by the Portuguese side. Albion made it through to the third round of the Carabao Cup with a 3-0 win over Harrogate. Goals from Rakeem Harper, Hal Robson-Kanu and substitute Callum Robinson saw the Baggies progress on what was a comfortable night for Slaven Bilic's side. Albion faced Brentford at home on Tuesday the 22nd of September. In the Premier League, 10-man Albion fell to a heavy 5-2 defeat against Everton at Goodison Park, but the result did not tell the story of the game. In what was an excellent first-half performance, the Baggies took the lead through an outstanding Grady Diangana goal. Dominic Calvert-Lewis, who went on to score a hat-trick, pulled the hosts level. Everton took the lead on the stroke of half-time through a fantastic 25-yard strike from James Rodriguez. But chaos then ensued, with Kieran Gibbs shoving the forward in the face shortly after the restart, with both him and Bilic given their marching orders. Despite being a man down, Albion hauled themselves level shortly after the restart through a stunning Mateus Pereira free kick. But two more goals from Calvert-Lewin and a Michael Keane strike saw Carlo Ancelotti's side comfortably grab the points. Albion's next Premier League game is at home to Chelsea on Saturday the 26th of September with a 5:30 p.m. kick-off.
Thank you, Ian. Talking Books now with Talking Books Steve.
Hello everybody and welcome to this week's audiobook review with me, Stephen Terry. This week I have decided to review an autobiography. The book's name and the author of the autobiography is no other than Mr. Elton John in his book Me by Elton John. In his first and only official autobiography, Music Icon, Elton John reveals the truth about his extraordinary life. which is also the subject of the smash hit film Rocketman. The result is me, the joyously funny, honest, moving story of the most enduringly successful singer-songwriter of all time. Read by actor and star of Rocketman, Taron Egerton, with an introduction and epilogue, read by Elton John himself. Christened Reginald White, he was a shy boy with buddy holly glasses who grew up in the London suburb of Pinner and dreamed of becoming a pop star. By the age of 23, he was performing his first gig in America, facing an astonishing audience in his bright yellow dungarees, star-spangled t-shirt and boots with wings. Elton John had arrived and the music world would never be the same again. His life has been full of drama, from the early rejection of his work with songwriter partner Bernie Taupin, to spinning out of control as a chart-topping superstar, from half-heartedly trying to drown himself in an LA swimming pool, to disco dancing with the Queen. Friendships with John Lennon, Freddie Mercury, George Michael, and setting up his AIDS Foundation. All the while, Elton was hiding a drug addiction that would grip him for over a decade. In Me, Elton also writes powerfully about getting clean, changing his life, and finding love with David Furnish, becoming a father. In a voice that is warm, humble and open, this is Elton on his music, his relationships, his passions, and his mistakes. This is certainly a story that will stay with you by a living legend. Take a look, folks. Have a listen to the book. Watch the film, even. It's a fabulous read, one that I certainly enjoyed, and I'm sure you will too. That's all for this week. Take care. See you soon.
Thanks, Steve. Now the quiz. Have you got the answers, Mina?
I have. So, how did you get on? Let's find out. Question one. Where was the ship QE2 christened? The answer is Clydebank by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. Question two. In what year was the infamous mutiny on the Bounty? The answer here is 1764. Question three. What was the name of the man who called Abraham Lincoln to a duel in 1842? And the answer here is James Shields. Question four. What was the title of the futuristic TV cartoon series first broadcast in 1962? And of course, the answer is The Jetsons. Question five. Where was the first Kentucky Fried Chicken shop? And the answer here is Salt Lake City in Utah. And finally, question six. What metal innovation makes Levi jeans so hard wearing? And the answer here is copper rivets. More flashback on This Week in History next week. But to end this week, it's our music quiz with Pete.
Thank you, Mina. And to finish this week, our music quiz, we're going to ask you to fill in the missing song title. So let's start off in 1958. Oh, and by the way, I'll put the word what in for the missing word. So let's see how you get on. 1958, Endless What, Marty Wilde. So from 1958, Endless What by Marty Wilde. From 1959, One What by Elvis Presley. So question two, 1959, One What by Elvis Presley. And finally, this is a double word, this one. This is a what. From 1960, Lonely Pup in a What by Adam Faith. So Lonely Pup in a What by Adam Faith. As always, thank you to Andy Coulson, who sends the questions in for us. And as always, we will give you the answers at the start of next week's Black Country Talkie News. Time to finish. Simon?
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talkie News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sightless tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!